All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today we're taking a look at a case that's really important for understanding patent law, especially this whole idea of obviousness after that big KSRV Teleflex decision. We're talking about Perfect Web v. Info USA.
Yeah, this one's fascinating. We're going to be digging into the Federal Circuit's opinion on this, plus some other really insightful analysis.
So basically what we're trying to figure out is how courts are actually applying this concept of common sense. Like, how do they decide if an invention is really worthy of getting a patent? And, you know, what does all this mean for anyone out there who is interested in innovation and intellectual property? Big questions.
Definitely big questions.
So let's start with the basics. What was Perfect Web's patent all about? What were they claiming was so unique and inventive?
Okay, so their patent was basically for a method for managing these bulk email campaigns. It was a four-step process. You know, first you had to match recipient profiles to like a specific audience. Then the second step, send out those emails in bulk. Third, calculate how many of those emails were actually delivered, like, you know, track the successful deliveries. And then, this is where things get interesting, the fourth step was to repeat those first three steps, but only if the delivery rate was below a certain number.
So they basically just kept repeating until they hit their target.
Exactly, until they hit that minimum threshold they set beforehand.
And I'm guessing this is where InfoUSA comes into the picture. They were probably doing something similar, and Perfect Web wasn't too happy about it.
You got it. Perfect Web sued InfoUSA, claiming that they were infringing on their patent. But InfoUSA fought back, arguing that the patent shouldn't have been granted in the first place because the method was just, well, obvious.
Okay, interesting. So what did the courts think about that argument?
Well, the district court in Florida sided with InfoUSA. They granted summary judgment, basically saying there was no real factual dispute and that the patent was clearly obvious.
Wow, so a pretty decisive ruling there. But Perfect Web didn't give up, right?
Oh, absolutely not. They took the case up to the Federal Circuit, hoping to get a different outcome.
And did they?
Well, unfortunately for Perfect Web, the Federal Circuit actually ended up agreeing with the lower court. They upheld the decision that the patent was obvious.
Okay, so now we're getting to the heart of this whole discussion, obviousness. What does it really mean for something to be obvious in the world of patent law?
So legally speaking, under 35 U.S.C. Section 103, you can't get a patent for an invention if it would have been obvious to someone with ordinary skill in that specific area, or, as we say in the biz, the art. Mm. Like, if someone with a reasonable level of knowledge and experience in the field would have easily come up with the same invention, then it's considered obvious and not patentable. And there's this whole framework for analyzing obviousness that goes back to a Supreme Court case called Graham v. John Deere.
Graham v. John Deere. Right, I vaguely remember that one from law school. It sets up those factors, right, to determine obviousness.
Exactly. You look at the prior art, which is basically all the existing knowledge out there, and then you compare it to the invention. Then you consider the level of skill someone in that field would have. And finally, you look at secondary considerations, like whether there was a long-felt need for the invention or if it was commercially successful.
Okay, I'm starting to get the picture. But didn't the Supreme Court kind of shake things up later on with KSRV Teleflex?
Yeah, that's a really crucial point. KSRV Teleflex was huge. It basically broadened how courts look at obviousness. Before that, it was very rigid. You know, like, you had to find explicit instructions in the prior art to combine different elements. But KSR said, hey, common sense has a role to play here, too. You have to consider logic and what's generally understood in the field.
So how did this KSR decision come into play in the Perfect Web case, especially with that whole email repetition step?
That's where it gets really interesting. The Federal Circuit said, okay, the first three steps, you know, matching profiles and sending bulk emails, that was all pretty standard stuff. But that fourth step, the repeating part, well, they said, if you don't get the number of delivered emails you wanted on the first try, it's just common sense to try again.
Right, like if you order 100 pieces and only 95 show up.
Exactly. You'd call the pizza place and be like, where are my other five pizzas? You wouldn't just say, oh, well, 95 is good enough. You'd naturally want to get all 100. So this court basically said, look, this repeating thing, it's not some genius invention. It's just logic.
I mean, that makes sense. So what about the level of ordinary skill part of this analysis? How did the court define that in the Perfect Web case?
So they said the level of ordinary skill, in this case, was someone with just a high school education and some basic experience with technology and marketing. Not exactly rocket science. And since the court figured someone with that basic level of knowledge would easily understand the need to repeat the process to hit their target, it made their argument for obviousness even stronger.
Makes sense. But I'm guessing Perfect Web didn't just roll over and accept this. Did they have any counterarguments?
Oh, they definitely tried. One of their big arguments was that their method filled a long-felt need in the industry. You know, like there was this big demand for a system that could guarantee a certain number of delivered emails, and no one had come up with a solution before them.
So they're saying, hey, if it was so obvious, someone would have done this already.
Precisely. But the Federal Circuit wasn't buying it. They said, look, you can't just say there was a need. You have to prove it. And Perfect Web didn't really have the evidence to back it up. Like, there wasn't any documented proof of other people trying and failing to solve this problem. There wasn't any widespread praise for this method as this amazing breakthrough. They just didn't have the receipts.
So evidence is key. You can't just make claims. You have to back them up.
Absolutely. The court was basically saying, show me the data.
Okay, so as we wrap this up, what are the big takeaways from Perfect Web v. InfoUSA? What should people, especially our law student listeners, remember about this case?
I'd say the biggest takeaway is that common sense is playing a bigger and bigger role in patent law, particularly after KSR. Courts are really looking at whether an invention would have been obvious to someone with just basic knowledge and reasoning skills. And the second big takeaway is that if you're going to argue that an invention is non-obvious because it fulfills a long-felt need, you need hard evidence. You can't just assert it. You have to prove it.
Really solid advice for anyone dealing with patents. And I think this whole case raises a really interesting question that our sources pointed out. Like, how much should courts rely on common sense when they might not be experts in the specific field of the invention? You know, what seems obvious to a judge might not be so obvious to someone who's deeply involved in that particular technology.
It's a valid point. Like in this case with bulk email management, yeah, maybe the common sense argument is more straightforward. But what about something really complex like biotechnology? What if a judge, who doesn't have a deep understanding of the science, decides something is obvious when in reality it's a groundbreaking invention?
It's definitely a tricky balance. There's a risk of oversimplifying things and potentially stifling true innovation.
Totally. There's that famous example of mRNA vaccines. You know, now that we have them, they might seem kind of obvious, like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
But back when they were first being developed, it was cutting edge, revolutionary stuff. So how do you apply this common sense standard fairly when technology is constantly evolving? And what seems obvious today might have been mind blowing yesterday.
Really makes you think. So to wrap up our deep dive into Perfect Web v. InfoUSA, I think the main takeaway is that this case really highlights the power of common sense in patent law after KSR. It's not just about novelty anymore. It's about whether the invention would have been obvious to someone with ordinary skills and logical thinking. And if you want to fight that obviousness claim, you better come prepared with strong evidence.
Absolutely. Well said.
And for our listeners, I'll leave you with this. As technology keeps advancing at lightning speed, how do you think this whole common sense standard will evolve? What kind of evidence will be needed to convince courts that an invention is truly non-obvious in these rapidly changing fields? It's a question worth pondering. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.